I'd like to fill out a few of the things I talked about this morning. First, a little bit more about exploring the attitude. I said this morning, helpful to check into our relationship to experience from time to time, but that it can get a little bit of an infinite regress if you are checking, oh, what's my relationship to that? Oh, and what's my relationship to that and to that and to that? And so it can kind of feel a little bit, where does it end? What's the bottom of that? And there are times when that kind of unfolds naturally, that we actually, it's like pulling on a thread. We see some relationship, and then we see, whew, it's like there's a whole bunch of relationships that are related to that. And sometimes that just happens. But it's also helpful to not like go digging for that. And so I like to encourage people to check in just from time to time. So the basic practice is relaxing, recognizing that you're aware, and then noticing what you're aware of, and then checking the attitude at times. And I just said every few minutes this morning, but I'd also like to offer you some thoughts about some good times, particularly good times to check your relationship to experience. The first really good time to check your relationship to experience is if there's any kind of a struggle happening. If it feels like it's hard to be paying attention, if it feels like you are white-knuckling it, I think that was the phrase that came up this morning. If it feels like there's stress or suffering happening in the present moment, that's a really good time to check the relationship to experience. If there is some kind of suffering happening in the present moment, if there's some kind of struggle happening, there's often some relationship that's not clearly seen. And so just that little probe of what's the relationship here? Sometimes it can just be blindingly obvious. Oh, that's what's going on. And for myself, when I've actually been able to clearly notice, oh, what's going on is that I don't like this. That's why I'm suffering. Something about turning the mind to just recognize, oh, not liking is happening. I used the phrase earlier that we can begin to align with our experience, align with what's actually happening in our experience. And that's what's going on there. Before we consciously recognize, oh, what's happening is that I don't like what's going on, that is kind of like below the level of our conscious awareness. And so it's kind of driving our choices, our decisions, our views, our experience, basically, about how we are in this moment. And as we begin to recognize, oh, that's what's happening, sometimes our whole system can just relax around that. At least I found that to happen quite often, that when I could actually kind of recognize, oh, what's happening is this human experience, this is what's going on right now. This experience of anger or fear or frustration or confusion, that's what's actually happening in the present moment. Something about that acknowledgement sometimes can let the system relax enough to allow that experience to simply be another experience that is known. And so as I said this morning, when we notice a relationship, you know, so we're paying attention to something and we recognize that frustration is the attitude. Like we drop that question in, what's the relationship? And we recognize frustration, that's what's happening. That's all that's really necessary, is to just recognize, okay, frustration is happening too. And what's obvious about frustration? You know, it's whatever is obvious there. It might be body experience. It might be contraction in the stomach. It might be just this feeling of frustration in the mind that you can't really pin down. But you know that you're frustrated. You know that frustration is happening. And so if you can frame it in that way, actually, sometimes I find the phrase, X is happening. Frustration is happening right now. Confusion is happening right now. Fear is happening right now. That framing of it takes a little bit of the I'm frustrated out of it. I'm confused. I'm afraid. And it's more, this is what's happening right now. So languaging it that way can sometimes be interesting. Okay, what's happening? This is what's happening right now. And again, you don't have to dig or figure out even how you know that you're frustrated. You know that you're frustrated. It's like, oh, frustration is happening. And what's obvious? What's obvious right now? I know frustration. Oh, and then there's a sound. And then there's another body sensation. And then there's kind of the recognition of frustration again. That's all that needs to happen. So that's the first time to check, is if there's any kind of a struggle happening, check into your relationship to experience. It also can be really helpful to check into relationship to experience after you have returned from the mind wandering. So you wake up in recognizing, oh, the mind has been wandering. And in that moment, noticing that you're aware, what you're aware of, also can be helpful in that moment to check in. And how am I with experience right now? Because at least sometimes when the mind wanders, it wanders into thoughts, stories about the past, or fears, anxieties about the future. And in that wandering, in that the mind going off into its narrative about something else, often some kind of emotion or state of mind is created, because our minds don't simply think a thought, they think a thought and respond to it, especially when we're not particularly aware of it. And so if what's come up is a thought about this person that we were having an argument with 2 weeks ago, very likely if you've not been mindful, and even if you have been mindful, you may be feeling the frustration, the resentment, the anger that is associated with that argument in the present moment. I mentioned this earlier, that you know, when thoughts arise in the present moment, they also come often with emotions that are associated with them. And so when we return from the wandering, if we are kind of not opening to, and what is here right now, and what's my relationship to what's here right now, some of those hidden, those attitudes that have been constructed based on our thoughts might simply kind of, again, be under our radar. And unwittingly, we may be bringing that attitude into how we are practicing right now. And so we've had this argument with this friend in our mind, and frustration has arisen. We come back, oh, I'm aware again. Oh, what's here? Oh, there's a sound. And not really noticing what is actually arising around where the mind has been wandering. That frustration might kind of be the lens through which we are now seeing or hearing or feeling our experience. And so after the mind has wandered, it can be really helpful to open to, and what's the relationship? Another good question for this is, this is a little bit broader than what's the relationship, but it can take us into the same terrain, but it also can be a little broader than that. And that is the question, what else is happening right now? So you wake up from the mind wandering, you notice, okay, I'm present again, aware again, I'm noticing a sound, and what else is happening right now? Is there something that was kind of outside of the sphere of our attention in that? So sometimes the question, what else is happening, can just broaden the perspective of what we know. So checking the relationship to experience, if there's struggle when we return from a wandering mind. And as I said this morning, sometimes when we when the mind wanders, sometimes when our mind wanders, and you know this may resonate for you, sometimes when our minds wander, it's like our minds charge out of the present moment. Some thought has happened, and we just leap on that thought, and it's like we're on the freight train of that one, and we are really engaged with that energy of that thought. Often if the mind is charging out of the present moment, there's some strong emotion going on there. So really useful to check in. What emotion is here now when you return from the wandering? Sometimes when the mind wanders, it's more like the mind is kind of forgotten about mindfulness, or it's just like, there's just kind of this pleasantness. We're kind of just, in this flow, and it's like we flow off into la-la land. Sometimes when we wake up from that, sometimes what happens when our minds, so I call that drifting. Sometimes our minds drift out of the present moment. Sometimes they charge out of the present moment. A drift out of the present moment can turn into a charge out of the present moment, because sometimes in the drifting, our minds just kind of drift into, what did I do yesterday? And what do I need to do tomorrow? And oh no, that thing I need to do tomorrow, I'm not done with that. Oh no. So we may drift into a charge. And then coming back again, we may have an emotion to check into. Sometimes, though, we may catch the drift while it's still a drift. It's just kind of almost like, it can be very pleasant. It's just like this floating feeling sometimes. So if you're waking up into a drift in that way, sometimes the mind can be actually more calm, more at ease, more settled than it was before the drift. And in that moment of waking up, if we try to jump on this and say, I better be mindful, we will miss the kind of settledness that's happened. And so in the moment of waking up, again, if we're just like, what else is here? Pleasant, calm is here right now. Sometimes that, too, can be what is available when we return from a wandering mind. Another time that's really useful to check into the relationship or the how we are with experience is if it feels like things are going really well. If it feels like, I figured this out, or, I've got this now. There's two reasons why this can be helpful. Probably more than two, but two that I'll tell you right now. First of all, sometimes what's happening there is that we've identified with being a good meditator, or we've identified with thinking we've figured something out, or we know how to do something, and that's what we feel good about. That's what we think is going so well, that I figured this out. That kind of relationship generally has some constriction to it. It generally is related to either greed or aversion. I figured this out. I no longer have to be with all those unpleasant things. Or I figured this out. I can manage my pleasantness now. So often that kind of, when it's going really well, there can sometimes be some very subtle greed under there, or very subtle aversion. So one example from my own practice, I was meditating with Sayadaw in Burma at one point, and moved into a place where the mind felt just very peaceful, very settled. A lot of continuity of mindfulness, quite a bit of concentration. And I thought to check, what's the relationship to this? And what I noticed was that there was this subtle leaning in to try to make it continue. I was doing something to keep that going. And as I noticed that, it's like there was a little bit of that leaning in, a little bit of greed. It wasn't like major greed. It was just this subtle, like, maybe I can keep this going. And as I noticed that, that keeping it going kind of fell away. And the next attitude that arose was fear that it wouldn't keep going. So then I noticed that. It's like, and there's fear. And then there was the wanting it to continue that was noticed when I wasn't trying to make it continue. So these kind of very subtle attitudes were at play underneath that very stable, settled state of mind. And the next attitude that arose was joy and delight that I had seen these things. I would never have known unless I had thought to check that relationship. I would never have known there was a subtle, like, doing and pushing and pulling underneath that state. So then there was this delight that, and gratitude for the seeing of it. So sometimes when it feels like things are going very well, there can be very quiet little hindrances underneath there. So that's one reason why it's useful to check the relationship when it's going really well. Another reason why it's useful is because when it's going really well, you may have a chance to recognize that what's happening is that there's love, that there's concentration happening, that there's delight and joy happening, that the relationship to experience is one of intimacy and connection, one of non-reactivity, and that we can begin to get familiar with what Saito Utejaniya calls right attitude, this attitude that is okay with whatever is happening in the present moment, that is non-reactive to whatever is happening in the present moment. And that attitude has many flavors, depending on your own mind, your own experience in the moment. It might have the flavor of love, of connection, of compassion. It might have the flavor of interest and curiosity. It might have the flavor of delight, or simply, okay, this is okay, no problem, equanimity, balance of mind. Some of these states are ones that we might not recognize or might not know are actually being cultivated, being supported by this practice. And so checking our attitude when things are going well begins to give us an opportunity to recognize those beautiful states that are guiding us in the direction towards wisdom and towards letting go of the struggle and suffering that we tend to construct in our lives. So those are a few thoughts about checking the attitude. Let's see. I think I'll just see if there's a couple of questions. Are there any questions about anything I've said just now? Yeah.
Is this on now? You mentioned earlier that there's some awareness moment that we can just name it. Just use the phrase, the name.
Or to recognize it.
To recognize it, yeah.
We don't have to necessarily name it, but it's recognition can come with a naming, mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to. And so sometimes it can be helpful to acknowledge, oh, this is awareness, actually consciously. You know, oh, this is what it means for awareness to return. So you can kind of... But it doesn't have to come with words. It could also just be more like a nod, as I said before. Yeah.
Good. Because that's my question, because seems like I need certain level of clarity in order to be able to identify what that is, what I aware of.
Yes.
And sometimes I don't have that clarity.
So that's a great question. And this is an interesting kind of flip of the traditional mindfulness practice where we pick something and we know with clarity, yes, I'm knowing that thing. One of the ways this practice can unfold is that we know that we're aware, or we begin to get familiar with that. It's like, yeah, I know I'm aware, but I have no idea exactly what it is that I'm aware of. It's like, I know generally that I'm sitting here, I know that I'm hearing things, but it's not like I know very clearly this in this moment is what I'm aware of. That's okay. Just stay with the knowing that you're aware, and in the broad sense, recognizing whatever it is that is there. It might just be, yeah, I'm sitting in a room. And so you don't need to try to get precise about it. Sometimes it will be, I mean, you'll be sitting there and it's like, yep, I know I'm aware. Okay, aware. Yep, I'm aware. And then a motorcycle goes by and suddenly it's like, I know I'm hearing right now. So in that moment, there's some clarity about what's happening. And then the motorcycle dies away and it's kind of more this vague sense again. Just stay with that vague sense. At some point, the mindfulness will, there's kind of different layers of experience that get revealed through this kind of practice. But at some point, I would say that at the beginning, there's often this kind of vagueness of not being sure about what we're aware of. And over time, it begins to be more clear. We begin to get a sense of attention being drawn to one thing or another. And just the sense of, oh, now the mind is pulled a little bit more to the sounds that are, oh, and now it's to the body. And then now it's, so we begin to get a sense of that just with time. So not needing to figure it out, but just kind of being willing to hang there and recognize, yeah, I know I'm aware, not quite sure what I'm aware of. That's okay. And then it'll start getting much more clear. And sometimes it can just feel like a flow, you know, kind of like, oh, for a little while the mind is attending to hearing, and then it shifts to body sensations, then it moves to emotions, and we can kind of just, you know, ride this flow of the attention as it shifts between things. And then it might start feeling like it's jumpy, like it's like the awareness is noticing this thing, and then it notices this thing, and then it notices this thing, and then that thing, and it just feels like popcorn or something. So that's just another way that we can notice experience. And then even more, as we get more familiar with knowing experience, knowing what's here, there then come other times where we also are very clearly aware and have no idea what we're aware of, partly because we are that the mind is beginning to get interested in things that we're not familiar with. So I would say at first, the unfamiliarity or the unawareness or the inability to recognize what we're actually paying attention to is more about not really understanding what attention is and following the attention. Over time, the mind in the continuity of mindfulness begins to move into states of concentration and states of stability of mind that are their own experience. And the mind kind of begins to gravitate towards unfamiliar experience, towards states of mind that we may not even have a name for. And that also feels like, I know I'm aware and I have no idea what I'm aware of. But it's a different flavor of that can happen. So, but in both cases, the instruction's the same. Just notice that you're aware and be willing to not know what it is you're aware of. Seeing if there can, so at that point you're cultivating the awareness of the awareness. You're recognizing, yep, I do know I'm aware, and then to recognize, and you can check in. Well, what's obvious? Well, nothing particular right now. And what's obvious? Well, okay, still. And what's obvious? Oh, that sound. That's obvious right now. And then so you just take that as it's received. Again, it's kind of like being in the driver's seat of the car. You know, sometimes you're going through landscape that's pretty vague and diffuse, and sometimes you're going through landscape that's like, wow, there's all these things to look at. So you just kind of, you know, go on the ride for that. Thank you for the question, because that's a very common experience with this form of practice. And the practice there, again, it's kind of flipped the technique around to be curious about recognizing the awareness rather than going to look for something to be aware of. if you find it difficult, or and it can be difficult at first, it's so unfamiliar for us to just hang in that space of awareness when there's nothing particularly drawing the attention, or you're not sure where the attention is, that's a very easy place for the mind to wander. And so if you can hang out with it and be willing to be uncomfortable about not knowing, that will serve you. And if you find yourself in trying to hang out there that you just keep getting lost, then pick something, again, to start. Just pick an experience like, okay, yep, I know there's that thing. Yep. And then, you know, hang out with that for a while. But then as you hang out with that, there will be times when you begin to recognize, oh, but now the attention moved to hearing. Oh, now the attention moved to another body sensation. So you can start with something, but then as you notice the attention shift to something else, you don't have to feel like, oh, let me come back. Because we're interested in going where the attention goes. We're interested in seeing, oh, that's what the attention wants to pick up on right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Let's have another person in the back. Yeah, Betsy.
In this terrain that you've been discussing, I found on my walk this morning that it was almost as if the six sense doors had an equal gravitational pull. So I was hanging in that space, and it transformed into awareness. I don't really love opera because there's so much coming in at every sense door that I can. And I felt this moment of kind of operatic overwhelm, mm-hmm. where suddenly, like, oh my gosh. So many pixels. It was borderline overwhelming.
Yeah,
I was there, and then the mind just goes that thing.
Uh huh.
It wasn't exactly fear, but it was on the cusp of like, this is more than I know what to do with right
now. Did you recognize that experience of wow, this is almost overwhelm?
Yeah,
you actually kind of consciously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think I did that as the mind is going, this thing.
Okay. So it kind of, that there was a kind of an automatic shift uh-huh. away from that, uh-huh. That you didn't quite recognize that. That's fine. I mean, it's useful to recognize that state. But as you said, you know, sometimes our mind is already responding to it.
I mean, there's so many opportunities. I mean, that was the delicious part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like happy to go to any one of these places,
uh-huh.
but when it saw it all together, it was like, oh my gosh.
It is, oh my gosh. It's phenomenal, actually. It's kind of humbling what, I mean, it's like, thank goodness we don't have to take care of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our system automatically weaves together all of these sense bases into a coherent thing that we can live with. And part of what's happening there is you're recognizing the amazing machine or the amazing system here that's doing this. And it can be startling and kind of mind-blowing as we see it at first. It gets more comfortable over time.
To hang out there.
And so, you know, it's not the oh my gosh is a relationship to that experience. Mm-hmm. So just as you can, you know, noticing that kind of whoa feeling as a relationship, and then maybe choosing to simplify for a little while, you know.
So because I was taken by your being able to name, as you were walking us earlier through, I see it was the fear, the want. I feel, and being able to see it at the lightest touch level so that you're not attached to the fear,
yeah.
So you're not attached to the want. Are there similar guideposts in there for what to do with a mind that is borderline overwhelmed and also mystified?
Well, I think just noticing that, I mean, noticing the overwhelm, the borderline overwhelm, noticing it's mystified. In this case, it sounds like you weren't quite able to do that. because your mind automatically moved to that. But when you notice that shift, I'm just going to go there, it sounds like you had a little bit of access to the borderline overwhelm.
Yeah.
You know, seeing, oh, the mind did this. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, just kind of taking in, wow, the mind did this because of that feeling mm-hmm. of the overwhelm. So just take that in. Just know that. And then you don't have to try to stay there. Mm-hmm. But just noticing the kind of the, oh, my gosh, and the relationship to that of fear or whatever it is. And let yourself continue to pick that one thing. It's fine to do that, to kind of let your mind stabilize. The more continuous the mindfulness gets, the more it reveals. And we will go through times where it's like our mind is not quite ready to see what's being revealed. There's either overwhelm or fear or confusion. And if that happens, first of all, noticing that relationship, because it is a relationship to what's being shown to us, it's a relationship. And you know, not you don't need to try to push yourself back into that experience that was creating that overwhelm. It's like respect what's coming up for you, which is the overwhelm. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to try to say, oh, what I really need to do is put myself into this overwhelm, you know, this place of overwhelm and hang out there. That's not so helpful, because the overwhelm will just take you down the rabbit hole. So it's fine to, it's most important to recognize that overwhelm is there, but then, you know, doing what we need to do to manage it. And to be curious, too, because there can be the idea that overwhelm is a necessary or is an automatic response to that experience, and it's not. It's a response that's based on some belief or some view. Mm-hmm. And that view is probably, in this case, something like there's no way to track all of these things at once or something.
It's like opera.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, is yours a quick one?
No.
Okay. Let's save it then. I'll have another, there'll be another opportunity for questions. Yeah. So, let's do another meditation.